To be happy in every life we
Hello, my name is Gail Moskowitz, and you are listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been practicing in Richmond for over 30 years. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and a fulfilling life. Psychological issues are complex and they're often misunderstood. All of us have had issues that are emotional in nature. We all have blind spots and we all get confused. We have all experienced sadness and depression, anxiety or panic, peer pressure, loss. Yet, as a society, we terribly underfund mental health programs. We have judgmental and angry feelings towards people with mental illness. We have morally confused notions of how to make our pain go away. And we're very, very good at making judgments about other people. Each week on Mental Health Matters, I try to introduce a topic. Sometimes I have a guest. And then we talk about a subject, and then I open it up to you, the audience, for an opportunity to ask questions or weigh in on the subject. Today, if you'd like to call, you may dial 649-9737, 649-9737. I guess nobody dials phones anymore, though. So you can punch into your phone 649-9737 or ask your phone to dial it all by itself, because actually we don't dial numbers anymore. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging onto WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all my past shows, by logging onto my website. And you can get to my website by going to WRIR's website and just clicking Mental Health Matters. This week, my guest is Donna Rowe. Donna is a Daily Planet board member. She is also a mental health worker, and she's an individual who lives and thrives with her own mental illness. And the topic of the show today is, why is there such a stigma attached to mental illness? Why don't we have that same stigma with physical illness? And it is something that I would like to talk to Donna about today. Thank you for coming and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'll tell you what, why don't we get started? Tell the audience a little bit about where you currently work and what you currently do.
I currently work at RBHA as a peer specialist. I'm on the PAC team. We go out into the community. We deliver meds. I take clients to the store or out for social outings to eat.
And how long have you worked there?
6 months.
Okay, so tell me what you were doing 5 years ago.
5 years ago, I was homeless, and I was staying at the Safe Haven, which is a program run by the Daily Planet. I was doing some volunteer work, but nothing else.
And tell me how you found yourself homeless.
I was working. I became really angry. I couldn't stand being around anybody, so I quit my job with the idea I would get another job. But once I got home, I just went into a deeper depression, and I ran out of money, and I was evicted.
So tell me what kind of a depression somebody would experience that would keep them from being in their life in the way they were before. I mean, you had a job, you worked, you paid your rent, and then you got so sucked up into that blackness of depression. Tell me what that was like.
It's hard to describe. I would just lay in bed for a week at a time. I never left my apartment. I went to the store once a month, even to take out the garbage. I just went out in the middle of the night when I wouldn't see anyone. I just didn't want any human contact at the time.
And did you have family members that checked in on you or
no,
wondered
I did not.
About you?
I had already separated myself from my family.
Yeah. So it was like nobody missed you.
Right.
Yeah. And so that went on for a year?
No, actually about 4 years.
About 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And were you homeless for 4 years?
No.
No.
No. But I was living in an apartment during that time.
I see.
I had saved up some money. I was paying rent.
So you were able to exist for 4 years on the money you had saved up.
I also started using credit cards, yes.
I see. Okay. And so what made you finally go get some help?
I was evicted. And just walking out the door of that apartment one day with nowhere to go, I was frightened. But at the same time, I was so shut down, there was no emotion to it. It was just zombie, you know, just walking out. And I found a place to sleep, but I was terrified of being found. So finally, I talked to someone with Center Intake, which at the time was located at the Daily Planet. And she talked me into coming in and getting into a shelter and getting some help.
Tell me what Central Intake is, because I don't think that everybody knows. Can you just say that?
Central Intake is the point where everyone who needs a shelter or a place to stay, they go there.
How long were you homeless for?
Well, I was on the street for about 5 weeks. I was in Caritas for about 2 months, and I was at Safe Haven just about a year. About a year and 3 months.
Okay. So just if I can just tell people what Caritas is. Caritas is an organization that I believe stands for communities. It's churches and other faith-based organizations that come together. And each week in another church, they
yes.
house
mm-hmm.
people.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a wonderful organization.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that I can get somebody from Caritas to come on the show. It's a wonderful organization. So you were on the streets for 5 weeks. That must have been, I hear you said that you felt like numb and shut
mm-hmm.
down. But it must have been horribly frightening.
It was. At night, I couldn't sleep because I was just so afraid of being found. I didn't know whether what would happen if the police found me or what would happen if someone else found me. You know, you hear awful stories,
yes,
and
sure.
there is a fear that goes with that.
So you got then, okay, so you got to Caritas, and you then you went to Central
Intake.
Mm-hmm. And then you were in a shelter, you got to Caritas, and then you were in Safe Haven for a year and a half.
Right.
What'd they do for you?
I was at Safe Haven for a year.
For a year.
Well, they take care of all your basic needs. You have a place to sleep, food to eat, a safe place to be, which was really important at the time. But it also gave me the opportunity to relax and work on the mental health part so I could get better.
Did you know that you had a mental illness?
No, I can't say. I knew I was different, but I didn't know enough to actually diagnose a mental illness.
But you always...
I knew I was having trouble, yes.
Did you always feel like you were different? Or just then?
No, I've always felt that I was different. I'm not a very sociable person. I'm more solitary kind of person, and I've always had a few friends, but not a big group of friends, so... And I've been very sensitive, so I get my feelings hurt very easily.
So when you were at Safe Haven, you had a chance to work on the mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time you had really begun to understand that some of your behavior, the kind of isolating or having your feelings hurt a lot or being angry at people or irritated, that was part of a bigger picture, and it was the first time you understood that.
Yes.
Did somebody give you a diagnosis?
Well, I had a few.
Okay.
the psychiatrist gave me one, and my therapist gave me one.
Was it helpful?
I think, in a way, it was. It's frightening to be diagnosed with a mental illness, but at the same time, it was somewhat comforting to have a label for what was wrong with me and to know that it was something I could now work on and hopefully, you know, improve.
You trusted them?
Not immediately, but I learned to trust them.
Yeah.
But it had nothing to do with them. It was me.
It had to do with you. And I just asked that because you said that you were a person who sort of got your feelings hurt easily and isolated yourself. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's, you know, it's hard to trust professionals or say, I'm going to come in here and help you. I could understand that. But you came to really get that they had something to offer you.
Yes, and I believe they were very enthusiastic about helping me. I finally got the feeling that they really were there to help me, and they wanted to do what was best for me.
It's pretty amazing. May I ask, did you start taking some medication?
Yes, I started taking an antidepressant.
And has that been helpful?
Yes, very helpful. I'm still on it. Okay. I don't know what it would be like without it, but it's a very small, it's just 10 milligrams a day, so.
So it wasn't just the medication that was helpful, but yes, that was clearly helpful. It was also wonderful to have a group of people that you grew to be able to trust who were enthusiastic in that way that they said, hey, we really do have something to offer you. And then you began to see the results.
Right.
And tell me about that. Tell me about beginning to see the results.
Well, one of the best things about Safe Haven was that part of their program is you have to go out and do volunteer work. I think it's, I don't know what the amount is. At the time, I think it was 5 hours a week.
But that's a great thing to do.
It is a great thing because it gets us out there helping other people. We tend to get value out of that. So I went down to a lunch program, Richmond Friends of the Homeless, and I started volunteering that. And it was such a positive thing because I met people I liked and I felt like I belonged there. And they were very nice to me. And it was my first positive experience with people in a long time. However, I would say therapy helped me more than anything. I think that is what learning to change within myself is probably the best thing.
How did you do that? Tell me what you learned.
I learned to be more accepting of myself and other people. I was the kind of person who thought I should be perfect, and I also thought everyone around me should be perfect.
That's exhausting.
It is. So I had to change that way of thinking. I came to understand that I do have value, which when I arrived at the Daily Planet, I was just so hopeless I couldn't see a future. So I never imagined I would be where I am now. Therapy was very difficult in the beginning because I'd kept so many things inside of me for so long. It was difficult to just, you know, start spitting it all out. But just to have someone to talk to, someone that believes you can do things even when you don't believe yourself you can do them, just a very positive experience.
So let me just reiterate, because I think that you just said some things that are incredibly important and I would like for people to hear.
Okay.
So let me just highlight some things. One, you said that you learned that you didn't have to be perfect, and you also learned that nobody else is going to be perfect either.
Right.
And that was something in a very deep way you had to come to accept. Because if you think everybody has to be perfect or that you have to be perfect, all you can do is have a life of disappointment and exhaustion. And understanding everybody's vulnerabilities makes it a lot easier to live in the world because you're not constantly being hit in the head with people's imperfections.
Right.
It's like you stipulate to it. That was helpful. It was also helpful for the first time for you to allow yourself to give voice to the things that hurt inside of you.
Yes.
And I think that's so important. I just want to say that out loud because I think that we live in a society that says we should be rugged and we should, you know, suck it up and, okay, don't whine about it. Put your big girl pants on and move through it. And in truth, while we do need resilience and we have to get over things, if we don't have a voice and we don't say our problems out loud sometimes, then you can't get any wisdom from anybody else. And you can't unburden yourself with those repetitive thoughts because you're not getting anyone else's thought in your head.
Right.
So it was very helpful to just unburden yourself with all those things you've been carting around for so long.
Yes, and also the more you talk about it with people, the more you see that other people are having some of the same difficulties.
So that was very helpful, too. I do think that's true. The more you talk about it with other people, you begin to see that you're not the only one who struggles in that way. So therapy was helpful in all of those ways. The doing the volunteer work, there's something else that you said that I just want to reiterate and highlight, is all of us benefit from giving of ourselves. That even if you're being helped, the act of helping somebody else really gave you a sense of worth.
Yes, definitely.
I don't think people understand that. That's why I wanted to reiterate that too. So I want to ask you this. What prejudices do you think people who live with mental illness sort of bear all the time?
That's a difficult question. They're looked down upon. They're devalued. Some people are afraid, literally afraid of people that have mental illness. They're afraid that somebody's different. And there have been things that have happened that involve people who are mentally ill, but that doesn't mean all people with mental illness.
So that while there are people who are mentally ill that might cause a violent crime or something like that, that's...
Doesn't represent the whole population.
By any means.
By any means.
Right.
People just don't... I think there's just a lack of understanding. If people understood more about mental illness, the fear would go away, as with anything.
Do you talk to people about mental illness?
I do now. I didn't when I was going through it, but I do now. I talk to the people I work with at RBHA. That's part of my being a peer specialist there. I'm the one that can talk to them on the same... in the same way about what they're experiencing, because I've experienced it.
There's a, you know, it's an interesting point because it's not just the judgment of other people, but it's your own shame that can really derail you.
Yes.
Do you find that the people in that you work with do really suffer from that kind of shame?
Somewhat, yes. And it's a very difficult life. A lot of our clients are on disability and they have a lack of money, a lack of people supporting them during the stages of their life. And it's just great to be able to go in there and just sit down and talk to somebody and try to let them know that they're not alone in what they're experiencing.
I can't imagine that anybody would be a better peer specialist for them than somebody who doesn't just intellectually know what they're struggling with, but emotionally know, and physically know. If you're dealing with people who are mentally ill and homeless themselves, that's and triumphed over that, so to speak, you really have something to offer them. So I understand you're now a board member at the Daily Planet.
Yes.
Do you like that role?
I love that role. I feel very honored to be a part of the Daily Planet board. I just think it's a wonderful organization, and it just I'm just very proud to be a part of it.
What role do you play on the board?
I'm, again, in the role of someone who was a client. They have positions on the board for people that were clients of the Daily Planet, so they have their input, their perspective on things.
It's really, I think it's fabulous that you're in that position and you enjoy giving in that way. So this is a hard question, but have you had an opportunity to do some healing with people in your life, the people who you felt so disconnected to when you were younger?
Well, I am back in touch with my family and a part of my family again. A lot of the people I've known in the past, I just don't have any contact with anymore.
Does your family better understand some of the things that you struggled with?
I think they try to understand. I don't know that anyone who hasn't been through it can truly understand.
Is there other mental illness in your family?
There's a history of it in my family.
There's a history of it. So this is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm here today with Donna Rowe. She is a Daily Planet board member and also somebody who lives every day and thrives with mental illness. And we're talking today about how she came to be where she is in her life right now and what it's like to have had to manage all of the difficulties that she had getting through the worst of her mental illness to where she is now today. So, Donna, I want to ask you another question that is that may be difficult, but the individuals that you work with at the Richmond Behavioral Health Authority, by the way, guys, that's the city of Richmond's Community Service Board Mental Health Program. And why they call it that, I don't know. Maybe you know. Do you know?
I don't know.
She doesn't know either. I have to find that out and let you know. But nonetheless, do they have dual diagnoses? Are they also not only mentally ill, but also have substance abuse problems?
Some of them do, yes.
And is that something you ever struggled with in your life? Thank God. Yes.
I have maybe a little bit of a overeater, but no to the substance abuse and alcohol.
Okay, which is really good. Right.
Well, I think it's very fortunate. I probably have that behavior in me, but I smoked pot a couple times when I was in high school, and it was not a good experience. And I just don't like the taste of alcohol. So,
you know, I just will say out loud for people, if you don't know this, that if you have certain anxiety disorders, pot is such a bad drug. It just makes you more anxious and more paranoid and just such a bad drug. I just thought I'd say that. Because a lot of the things that you struggled with were anxiety-driven.
Mm-hmm.
The perfectionism.
Yes.
The repetitive thinking. That's something you were struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you still have to bat that stuff out of your head?
Not as much as one time. I think through this process, I have become more comfortable with who I am, and with that, the anxiety sort of goes away. If you're honest with people and you are who you are, and they accept you, then a lot of your anxiety in your life just disappears.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
I wish we could bottle that.
Yeah.
Get people to see that.
Yes.
Because so much of what underscores our anxiousness is that repetitive negative thinking.
Right.
And so if today you got aggravated with somebody, you would solve the problem.
Right. I would try to talk to that person and, you know, just discuss what's going on.
And what if they weren't willing to do that with you? Then you could let go and recognize that's their problem?
Yes.
And did you learn that in therapy?
I think so. Plus, I also have an associate's degree in human services. And that program helped me a lot, too, to understand better.
Tell me a little about that. Where is that program?
It's at J. Sargent Reynolds. You take counseling classes and psychology and sociology and counseling classes. So you just get a better understanding of people in general.
And I know that... Again, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you went from being homeless. How did you pay for that program?
With grant money, Pell Grant money.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you went back to school, and this was a 2-year program?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did they place you afterwards or give you any help looking for a job?
No, what happened was I did an internship at the Salvation Army. They have a homeless shelter there. So I did a internship working as a case manager there with the individuals in the shelter. And then when my internship was up, I volunteered for a couple months, and then they hired me.
Oh, so that was your first job out of school?
Yes. It was just a 10-hour job at the time. About a year later, they made it 29 hours, and at that point, I was on disability up to that point. So at that point, when they gave me a 29-hour-a-week job, I lost the disability.
Did the people at the Daily Planet help you to apply for disability?
Yes. Very much so, yes.
I want to just say this again, because we're talking about nuances that not everybody understands. Stana's talking about being homeless, getting off the streets, getting to a shelter, being in the Caritas program. All of these programs are in place to help people. And then she made her way to the Daily Planet, went to the central intake, and was in a safe harbor program. And what they did for her were all those things. She was offered therapy. She did volunteer work. They helped her to get on disability. If you're living on the street and you can see your way, get yourself cleared up enough to go apply to disability, then you have monies that are coming in on a regular basis so that you can then begin to create some stability for mm-hmm. yourself with which to launch more things. Then she had a part-time, you know, the volunteer job, the part-time job, then the more hours, then they kicked you off disability because you were making too much money.
But that was a good thing.
But that's a good thing. Yeah. Because it is a good thing, because mm-hmm. that's what you want.
That's what I wanted from the beginning, was to go back to work. I just couldn't see how I would get from where I was to working again.
One foot in front of the other.
Right. And I was very lucky because most people don't get some of the opportunities I did. I had the opportunity to take my time and take steps slowly by starting to volunteer. Then I started volunteering at the library. Then I replaced that with school. And just, I had time, which a lot of people don't get.
Well, but what I can hear you saying is that you really tried to listen to what people were telling you, mm-hmm. to put one foot in front of the other, to get on disability, to give yourself the time, and that was very helpful.
Yes.
I have my last question here.
Okay.
This is important.
Okay.
How does it feel to be helping people for a living day to day, and how does that feel?
It feels wonderful. It's I feel like I have something to offer people for the first time in a long time, and it's just a great feeling to be back at work and helping other people.
And they, you watch clients literally move themselves from the position they're in to a more solid, stable position? Do they get out of your program and move on?
A whole lot of them don't. They're the most severely mentally ill people. They get to the point they can take care of themselves in their own housing and own apartment.
That's stability.
Some work part-time jobs. Yes.
I don't think that anybody understands how hard it is to live with the kind of mental illness that some people have to live with. And that if they could find a stable place to live and even do some volunteer work, mm-hmm. that is real success.
And take slow steps.
Yes. Donna, you are very kind for coming today and talking about yourself.
Oh, I was happy to be here.
It's just making yourself vulnerable and talking about yourself, mm-hmm. and I'm thrilled that you're here. And I hope that maybe you can help talk some of your other mental health workers into coming and talking to me, because I'd love to hear about what they're doing and the kind of work that's happening in the community. For now, this is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and I hope that you'll join me next Thursday at 1 o'clock here on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond.
Be happy in every life. We have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry.